Let's confess our faith. What does it mean to believe in the Holy Spirit? We're at Lord's Day 20 and Lord's Day 21, page 880. And let's read 53 and 54 together. There you see two distinct works of the Holy Spirit in us, through us. Page 880. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that He is given also to me, so that through true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? I believe that the Son of God, through His Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. And then let's turn in our Bibles to the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts, because Acts continues where Luke leaves off. Luke 24, and we'll read verses 45 to 53, right at the end there. And then skip over the book of John to where Luke's second book begins, Acts 1. So Luke 24, 45 to 53. Jesus with His disciples on Easter Sunday. Verse 45, then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of My Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up His hands, He blessed them. While He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And then Acts 1, verses 1 through 9. And that's on page 1080. Acts 1, 1 through 9. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with each until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for, there we have it again, the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Especially verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. May God bless this word to our hearts and to our lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But do we really believe in His person? Do we really believe in His presence? Do we really believe in His power? Do we really trust Him to help us? Do we really call upon Him? Do we really rely upon Him? Too often we limp around through our lives without power and without boldness, and we let sin steamroll us. And we're afraid to be witnesses. We're scared of what might happen to us in deed and word. And the reason is we don't sufficiently believe in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. And we don't rely upon Him to give us victory in in the fears and the temptations that we face. Last week we saw that a balanced believer is a Romans 7 and Romans 8 Christian, a Romans 7 Christian. We recognize the power of indwelling sin living in us that always opposes the good that we want to do and always provokes the evil we don't want to do. We're weak in ourselves, desperately needing the power of Christ to work in us. Sin is a hammer banging on our lives all the time. But that's not the only reality in the life of the Christian, indwelling sin. There's a greater reality, the Romans 8 Christian. The law of the Spirit of life that lives in every believer to empower us to fight sin, to motivate us to please God, to assure us that we're children of God, to encourage us in our prayers. And in all our fears, in all our struggles, in all our weaknesses, faith believes in the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith relies upon Him as the person of God living in us and embraces Him. That's a power Christ won for us when He died for sin and He rose in victory, the power of the Spirit. And it's the power that He shared with us when He ascended on the day of Pentecost and poured out upon His church. And every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. But do we believe? Do we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit living in us? And do we make use of Him and the promise of His presence? We want to rise to, I would say, the next level of the person and the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit who is given by the Father and the Son to the church as power for witnessing for Christ. Power for witnessing. So that through our witness, the church might be gathered and built up. Let's see three things. The Spirit and the Word, the Spirit and mission, the Spirit and the church. The Spirit and the Word. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Who were these men? Who had no power. And they had no possessions. And they had no position. And they were persecuted. And they're to be witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth. What a hopeless, helpless feeling. You can't go to the ends of the earth and build my church. But I'm not going to leave you alone. You'll be clothed with power from on high. That's the promise of a Father. It's the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church. The Pentecostal promise. And so we confess that the Son of God, through His Spirit and Word out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life. That's the Spirit's work. Working with the Word, the witness for Christ. That's the Spirit's working with the Word to go out to the ends of the earth. He is the one. The Spirit is the one who goes out to the ends of the earth to seek and to find and to save and to gather and to build a church out of all the sinners whom the Father chose and for whom Christ died. And that's what it means to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on a mission. And that mission is excellently described in the Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But don't forget the next lines. A holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as in creation, the Holy Spirit finishes the work of the Father and of the Son. So in salvation, the Holy Spirit finishes the work of the Father and of the Son and puts it together to build a church out of it, a communion of saints, to bring the forgiveness of sins. One day to raise up our body and bring us to life everlasting in the new creation. That's the Spirit's work sent from the Father and the Son to bring us to that glorious destiny. And the chief instrument that the Holy Spirit uses in His mission of gathering the lost from east and west and north and south to build the beautiful bride of Christ, to regenerate them, to save us, to add us to Christ's holy family, the church, is the gospel, is the Word. You shall receive power to be my witnesses, Jesus said. What's a witness? What's a witness? It means, like in a court of law, you're put forward to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, the Holy Spirit uses us to be Christ's witnesses, to speak the whole truth of Christ and nothing but the truth to the ends of the earth, to go out with the word of Christ. We're the agents of the instrument of the Spirit, the word, to accurately testify to others, both the words and the deeds of Jesus Christ, and take his message into all the world and call all people to repentance and faith in him. That's what Jesus said. We read that at the end of Luke 24. If you go back to Luke 24, 46 and 47, here's what Jesus says to his disciples. 24, 46 and 47. They're witnesses of what? Well, 46 tells us what they're witnesses of. Thus it is written, Christ should suffer and on the third day rise, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things, this truth. The Christ who came, died, rose, and that all nations are called to repent and believe in him for the forgiveness of their sins. That's the word of the gospel. That's the Spirit's instrument, and believers are his agents. Jesus said to his disciples once, I'm now quoting John 14, 26. He's just told them that he's going to leave them. He's going to go back to heaven in a little while, and they have to hold the fort, so to speak. And they have to be his representatives here on earth after he leaves. And oh, they're broken. But Jesus said to them, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is going to give you the word of Christ. Everything I said, everything I taught you, he's going to teach that to you and keep reminding you of it so that you don't lose the truth. And that's the word of which you are my witnesses. And that's how the Holy Spirit saves people, that simple way. He equips and he empowers us to go out with the word. And he himself goes with us. And he goes with the word that we speak. And the Holy Spirit is the one who confronts people's minds and hearts with the truth of Jesus, the Creator and the Savior of the world, the Jesus of Genesis to Revelation. And the Spirit alone makes the word successful. And that's the challenge for us. Do you really believe in the Holy Spirit, that he's still pleased to use the word to save the lost? That he's still pleased to use the word to gather, protect, preserve, build the church? That he's willing to use the preaching of the gospel to save the lost? And he's even willing to use your testimony about what Jesus has done for you, pull in the people, the lost sinners, to want to hear more and be saved? Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit is willing to use this? People have lost their confidence in the word. And that's why they try all other kinds of silly means and methods to save people that are far away from the word. You don't have to quote chapter and verse, but simply speak the truth of Christ crucified and risen from the dead for sinners. And so that's our mission, secondly, the Spirit and our mission. The Spirit uses the word, the Bible. Not our own feelings, not our own opinions, not what we think is right and true, but the Bible. And that's our mission, to take that word out to the ends of the earth and be his agents, be the vehicles of the word. He's pleased not only to use the word, but ordinary, weak human messengers to bring that word and to accomplish great things. And that takes faith too. I'm a jar of clay. And it becomes famous now that the apostles are called jars of clay. But often that's our excuse for saying, I don't know what to say, or I don't think I can do that. I'm just so weak and fragile and breakable. Okay, says the Holy Spirit, you're the one I want. Breakable, fragile, sinful human beings, raised up by the power of Christ to be his missionaries. Christ has sent us out He calls the whole church to be his missionary. Yes, he specially calls, ordains, and sends missionaries with a capital M, preachers with a capital P, evangelists with a capital E, who have a special calling to teach and preach the word to the found and to the lost. That's clearly taught in the scripture. But that's not all. All the people of God stand together with those who are specially ordained, called, and sent. Called, ordained, and sent. The whole congregation, the whole church of Jesus Christ is his witness, is his missionary to the ends of the earth. Remember that. Isaiah 40, that message of comfort. Comfort my people. And then after that message has been delivered, God says to Israel, get up on a high mountain, O Jerusalem, herald of glad tidings. Lift up your voice, O Zion, herald of glad tidings. The whole church, that's who Jerusalem, that's who Zion refers to. We're all in this business. Poor, powerless, persecuted disciples sent to accomplish an impossible task before a world that wants to devour them. They're already being hunted. That's why they're hiding behind locked doors that night Jesus visited them on Easter Sunday. And you have to go out and turn the world upside down with the message of Jesus Christ. How is this possible when you are nothing in this world and you have nothing? They were desperately in need of God's help. But Jesus does not give us a task without giving us all the resources we need. He says, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. And then Acts 1, but you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power for what? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Yeah, not just you, the 12, but in generations to come, the you that grows, the church that grows, to be my witnesses, Spirit empowered, for the whole millennium, until Jesus returns. The one who went up and was hid by a cloud and returns on the clouds of heaven, comes back the same way we saw him go during that time. You will receive power. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was baptized. It means every believer was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it continues that way today, to be witnesses. Again, not all in the same way. We have our different callings, but all witnesses. And that's what gave the gospel of Jesus Christ so much success. A little band of 12 apostles surrounded by 120 little believers in that one little congregation meeting in that one spot in Jerusalem, and they turned the world upside down. Those are the words of Luke in the book of Acts. They turned the world upside down because it didn't go out in man's power. It went out in the Spirit's power. And that's amazing. You can say a little thing about Jesus. You think, oh, that's such a weak word. Yes, but the Spirit's strong. And you can use little weak words and little weak you to accomplish strong things. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? To use you, little weak parents, in the life of your children facing their, opposition to the gospel. Their love of sin. And that little weak you, with your little weak word, can break through to their lives because the Spirit goes with you. You're clothed with power from on high. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? He goes with you. He dwells in you. And that guarantees success. Now that doesn't, we don't always know how he will use us. Sometimes spreading the word meets a wall of opposition, even leads to persecution, maybe even death. At other times, people hear the word gladly and they want to hear more and more. And whether slowly or quickly, the Holy Spirit brings them to faith and he brings them into the kingdom of Christ. But he will use for his glory, use us for his glory and for the expansion of his kingdom. Paul says that even his imprisonment worked out for the advance of the gospel. He says, I just want Christ to be glorified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. So the Spirit gets to choose how he's going to use your witness, but he will use it. Whether you're opposed or not, he will use it. He will even use the cruelty of al-Baghdadi. He will even use the cruelty of militants in Nigeria to expose the false gods and to press home upon many the truth of Jesus Christ. We don't get to pick how he's going to use our witness, but we do know that he will use our witness. Do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to do so? If you do, he will embolden you to open your mouth and speak. So what does it look like to believe in his power? Four applications here under the Spirit and our mission. If you believe in his power, you will be led to pray for boldness. I'm thinking of Acts 4, Peter and John thrown into prison for preaching in the name of Jesus. They're released. They're threatened not to speak again in this name. The whole church gathers together for prayer meeting. Why? Because they feel so strong? No, they feel incredibly weak. They feel they're going to lose this business. So they gather for a prayer meeting and they pray for continued boldness, that they won't be intimidated into silence. And the place where they're praying shook and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. We got to pray for boldness. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to embolden their weak and fearful lives. I know a man in our country who was recently threatened by the LGBT community because he was asked by a coworker what he thought of homosexual relationships. And this Christian man, gently, I know this man, gentle, kind, testified what the Bible teaches about homosexuality, that it's a sin, but there's forgiveness for every sinner who repents. Well, the coworker blew a gasket and he immediately threatened this Christian man that he would spread his hate crime on social media and put his job in jeopardy. And this Christian man became so afraid. And he thought he was going to lose his job and maybe be thrown into prison. Maybe be the subject of public protests around his house. He didn't know what was going to happen. He called his dad. The next day, his dad asked him how he's doing. He said, well, I'm afraid I could end up in prison. Here's what his dad said. I'm not concerned about you being thrown in prison. I'm concerned that you don't compromise. Pray for boldness so you'll stand firm and speak the truth in love. That's the attitude we need. There's immense pressure on the church today to accept and approve of homosexual relationships and other sexual perversions which go against God. They're all forgivable. It's like any other sin. We need to take it to the Lord and he'll help us. He'll forgive us. He'll save us. He'll strengthen us. But there's an immense pressure to accept and approve what God's word rejects. And we need to pray for boldness to stand fast in our confession of faith. Martin Luther said that if you hold on to all the truth of Scripture, except for that one area where you're being pressured to cave in, and you cave in, compromise there, you're not being faithful at all. We got to pray for boldness. That's what it means to believe in the Holy Spirit. The Bible's strong on this second point. You got to pray for the preachers. Paul constantly asked for prayers. Here are four things he asks for. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, an open door, that we may speak it clearly and boldly, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. You need to pray for your preachers because preachers don't have any power to save or change anybody. The Spirit alone does. The word can't save, bless, change, and build us unless the Spirit goes with the message and makes it reach home. We must depend upon the Spirit's power to use the preaching to save the lost, to wake up the sleeper, to alarm the lukewarm, to comfort the downcast, to give certainty to the doubting, to instruct the ignorant, to correct the erring, and the list goes on. Pray for the preachers. That's what it is to believe in the Holy Spirit. Three, pray for opportunities. Paul says to the Colossians, be steadfast in prayer so that you can walk in wisdom toward outsiders and know how you can answer each person, how you ought to answer each person. Be steadfast in prayer so that you can relate in an evangelistic way to outsiders and look, seek those opportunities and know how you ought to answer each person. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit for opportunities, and then to know how to use those opportunities when they arise. And that leads to the fourth thing. Pray for wisdom to know what to say in the hour of trial. That's what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be thrown in prison, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Mark 13, verse 11. Not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Pray for boldness. Pray for the preachers. Pray for opportunities, evangelistic opportunities in your life. Use them and pray for wisdom to know what to say, especially in the hour of trial. That's empowerment. And if I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll be ready to speak a word in season. I'll stop making excuses for why I don't witness. I'll just step out and ask the Holy Spirit to use this moment and help me use this moment so that these weak words from this jar of clay can accomplish mighty results however the Lord wants to use it. Brothers and sisters, if the shepherds can be witnesses of the gospel, those uneducated, despised people, so can we. Really, we can. In the Spirit's power. Only in the Spirit's power. Thirdly, the Spirit and the church. Just briefly, it's in this way, through gospel witness, through preachers, missionaries, Christian witnesses who stay at home, Christian witnesses who go to the ends of the earth, to the unreached peoples. As each one of us does our work, little people speaking little words of truth in little situations. It's in that way Christ, by his Holy Spirit, gathers, builds, and binds his church together. Protects and preserves her faith throughout the ages and advances her to the ends of the earth. A community chosen for everlasting life out of the entire human race from the beginning of the world to its end in the unity of the true faith. It's amazing. How did this weak vessel, this jar of clay, whose stumbling and fumbling words found its way into that mess of a person, gather together what we read about in Revelation 21 and 2, 22, a beautiful bride. It's totally, absolutely miraculous because of the Spirit's power. What the Spirit can do as the Spirit of the Father and the Son with weak witnesses. As the Lord said to Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hudson Taylor, pioneer missionary to China, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's resources. And we can add and accomplish God's glorious purpose. We are all an important part of the Holy Spirit's mission to bring together a holy Catholic church, Catholic meaning worldwide, an ages long universal church from all the peoples and the languages of the earth. May he use you. May he use me. May he embolden me and you this week to be faithful witnesses. He's got the power. Don't you worry about that. Amen. Let's pray. You, the mighty God, indwell us, Holy Spirit. Yours to strengthen, help, empower. Yours to overthrow the tempter. Yours to call upon in danger's hour. In your strength we dare to battle all the raging hosts of sin. And by you alone we conquer foes without and foes within. Father, grant your Holy Spirit in our hearts may rule today. Grieve not, quench not, but unhindered, work in us his sovereign way. Fill us with your holy fullness, God the Father, Spirit, Son. In us, through us, then forever, shall your perfect will be done. Amen.